Corinthians chapter 5. If you'd like to stand up with me as we open pages of God's infallible word. 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 16. 2 Corinthians 5, chapter number 5, and verse number 16. The infallible text says, "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin." Now watch this. "Not that he imputes righteousness to you." That's an Old Testament doctrine, wonderful as it is. It gets more and much more deeper and stronger for the believer. "That we might be made the very righteousness of God in him." Father, in thy name we pray, add your blessing to the reading of your word now. Open my heart to preach it. Open the hearts of the people to receive it. In Jesus' sweet holy name, the name of Jesus, bless that name. And amen. You can be seated. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 17 was written by the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul wrote the vast majority of the New Testament scriptures. We are greatly indebted to the fact that God called this man on the road to Damascus and saved his soul. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 17, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature." I'm sure not only was he writing under the inspiration of Scripture, but he was writing by his own testimony. He was telling you that something had profound had happened inside his life that had changed him from the inside out. Not till the day he died did he ever deny the fact that God Almighty had come to him. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, he said, "I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith." He said, "I finished my course. So therefore, to the end, to the last day, the last breath, till life left this body, and he was carried in the presence of the Lord, he did not deny what happened to him on the road to Damascus." It was a profound thing. It was a life-changing thing. He did not exchange one religion for another. He met someone that he did not know beforehand. He came in direct contact with the Lord God Almighty. He came face to face with the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. He put his hand upon him on the road to Damascus and demanded an answer from Paul, Saul of Tarsus. Said to him, "Why persecutest thou me?" Said, "It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." It is obvious that something had already been bothering this man deep down inside his heart and his soul. And here on the road to Damascus, it was brought to its consummation. The Lord appeared to him, as he, my friend, did. And when he did, the apostle now became Saul, from Saul of Tarsus, became now the great apostle Paul. And said that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He didn't say that he had new doctrine, a new church, a new religion, turned over a new leaf and became a new person. He said he is literally a new creature. So my friend, this morning I want to preach about the things that are new. First of all, I want you to understand that being a new creature in Christ Jesus, he gives you a new mouth. That Bible said, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If you want to know what resides deep down inside your soul and what you're all about, find out what's coming out of your mouth. All you have to do is listen to yourself. If you find nothing but constant criticism and blackguarding and hate and vile things coming out of your mouth, it's because your heart is full of that. From the abundance of the heart, it will overflow and it will come forth. The Bible said, Saul of Tarsus threatening out curses and threatenings and slaughters when headed to Damascus to take Christians and have them put to death. But my friend, that same man that gave forth threatenings and slaughters was later on praising God. He told the believers, he said, Let that which is good come forth from your mouth to the edification of the body of Christ. In psalms and songs and sweet things like that, sing praises to Almighty God. So his mouth changed. He got a new mouth. Not only did he get a new mouth, but he got a new man. This new man, the apostle says, to put on the new man, which is created in Christ Jesus. Now what that has to do with is your identity. You identify with somebody. If you want to run with a pack of hounds, that's because you're a hound. If you want to wallow in a slop pen, that's because you're a hog. If you want to hang around a bunch of death, that's because you're full of death. You hang around and run with and are with what you are because you identify with him. You want to be accepted with that crowd. You want to be one of who you are with. But my friend, make no mistake about it. When you put on that new man, which is renewed in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, the sweet songs of Zion begin to sound awful good. The singing of the cross of Christ sounds good to the soul. When God's people get together, there's something that draws you to them. That's the new man. It's not what you used to be. You could find me in every hell hole on the face of this earth. All you had to do is walk a little bit and I'd be there, belly up to the bar, drinking my suds, cursing and blaspheming God. But my friend, a new man in 1973 got put on. He's a new man. And everything changed. The crowd that I run with is not the same one. They've been hunting for me a long time. I hate to discourage them. They can keep hunting. I'm not going to be there. I don't plan to show up the new man. Not only that, but he gave me a new song. When God saved my soul, he put something inside me that started singing. Amen. You can always tell somebody that's happy. They've got joy because a song issues forth from their heart. Do you realize they were singing before the first man was ever made? Do you realize they were singing before the earth was ever brought into existence? Do you realize the first thing that ever was done in the presence of God by his creatures, they lifted up their voices in singing praise? Singing did not come from the earth. It sure didn't originate in hell. It came down from above. It's one of those things that almost makes you think it's kind of like angels. Angels singing in the presence of God. The voices of those that are born again lift up from this earth, rise up to heaven's shore. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Mercy, mercy, God's mercy. And on they sing. The reason they sing is because they've been changed. Something comes up from inside them. It's greater than this world. The world didn't teach you to sing mercy. You don't hear them singing Amazing Grace out here on the street corner. You don't hear them singing Redeemed out here in some public meeting. But you do in the house of God. You can hear it in houses too, not just in here. You can hear them singing all week long. In the dark hours of the morning, they'll sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. He gave me a new song, friend. My taste for songs changed drastically from what I used to listen to what I hear today is entirely different. He gave me new friends too and places to go to. When God saved me, there was a certain crowd that just literally left. They evaporated. They're gone. They don't come around anymore. They don't call. I don't see them because we have nothing in common. But all of a sudden, I picked up a bunch of new friends, people that had the same thing in common. The Bible said, can two walk together except they be agreed? I'll tell you what kind of a person you are by the crowd you run with. He gave me new friends. He gave me people that thought like I do, that know the same Savior that I know, that are saved like I am. They're brothers and sisters in Christ. Then he gave me a new mind. I don't think like I used to think. I used to be very critical of the church and of the Bible and of God and of Christ and all the spiritual things that I didn't know one thing about. I was very, very critical. I let it be known, my friend. I let my mouth run all the time about things that I knew nothing about whatsoever. And I hear people do the same thing today. Oh, how the mouth can multiply words. The Bible says a fool is known by abundance of words. Amen. And the truth of the matter is, that's pretty well true every time I've seen fools and let their mouths talk and let them run. And the truth of the matter is, most of what anybody ever says is what they've heard. You'll find very few people that have taken the time to research anything. My mind has changed. That Bible says you can have the mind of Christ. I don't see like I used to see. I don't think like I used to think. I don't hear like I used to hear. I see with an entirely different mind than I used to have. The first thing about my mind is when I pick up that Bible, I believe every word that's written in that book. I'm a Bible believer. My friend, I know that this is God's blessed word. Not only that, it's proven to me day in and day out. I watch God's word being proven true in the lives of people. Man's got a problem, folks. His problem is not education. His problem's not culture. His problem's not money. His problem's not environment. Man's problem is S-I-N. That's the biggie. That gets all of us. And there's only one remedy for S-I-N. It is J-E-S-U-S. He is the remedy for S-I-N. Do you have a problem with S-I-N? Breathe right now. Everybody take a good breath. Then you got a problem with S-I-N. And let me tell you the answer. The answer's not church. It's not religion. It's not being confirmed. It's not singing in the choir. It's not teaching Sunday school. It's not joining some self-help organization or reading every self-help book you can find. What is the answer, preacher? It is the Lord God Almighty sitting at the right hand of the Father. There is but one answer for sin. There's only one that can set the captive free. His name is Jesus. He gave me a new mind. Then he gave me a new nature. A brand new nature. The nature of God. I am now a child of God. Don't make me great. It doesn't. I'm not saying to you this morning there's anything wonderful about me, but my nature changed. Anything gets old. I don't care if you fish every day. Sometime or another, some of it's going to get old to you. I don't care if your job, you love it today. Occasionally, it's going to get old to you. And my friend, everything there is will eventually start wearing out and getting old. You start getting bored with it. You start getting bored with where you're going. I remember one time we took a 21-day tour to the Holy Land with Brother Bob. Longest time I'd ever been away from home outside of the military. I was over there with him. We went to one place after the other. My, we saw some things that blow your mind. I enjoyed it. But I'll tell you the truth. At about the 18th or 19th day, I got to where when I went into a hotel and went to another place, I got tired of it. I was ready to come home. I started getting bored with seeing new things every day of my life. I got tired of it. I was ready to finish it. Let me tell you something this morning. When God Almighty changes your nature, you never get tired of it. You never get tired of that one that dwells within your soul. You never get tired of the one that's changed you. You never get tired of that song of heaven. You never get tired of the one that saved your soul and forgave you of your sins. He's fresher by the day. He's sweeter by the hour. He's sweeter by the moment. I say to you today, I've been saved since 1973, and it's more precious today. It is sweeter now than it ever has been in my life. I can say to you that an eternity with God will never have a boring moment or a boring day. An eternity with God will be one new thing after another, where God manifests and reveals himself to his creation. It'll never grow old. I go to a land that'll never grow old. Let me tell you why you're able to do what you do. Why you're here today if you're truly born again, and you'll be here tomorrow and the next day. It is because your nature has changed. He put divine nature in me. That's what you are, is your nature. If you've ever been born again, it changes and it stays changed. I'm not trying to live up to some code that I created. I'm not here today to try to please some religious crowd. I'm not here today to try to be something and try to attain some goal. I'm here today because God saved me and changed me. He changed my wants. He changed my heart. He changed my future. He changed my life. He changed my soul. He changed everything you could change from a child of hell to a child of God. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus.
He changed my nature. And then finally, he changed my home. I came from here, but that's not where I'm going. I rose from the dust, but I ascend to the heavens. I'm a creature of hell, but I'm a son of God. I was bought and bred in the pit under a curse. But one day I'll sit at the king's table. His soul is my soul. His spirit is my spirit. His mind is my mind. That's my father. I have his nature. I have his home. His home is my home. I want you to understand something this morning. One day you're going to leave earth. I've been around a while and I know what I'm talking about. Some of you in this house this morning may leave much sooner than you think. You may be gone before the sun goes down. Death may come upon you in a moment. It may come as a surprise. You may grab your chest. You may simply fall back and it's all over, friend. Nobody can do a thing to change that. And you may lift up your eyes in hell. You may wonder, God, that you can do something about it. You may cry for mercy. You may plead for forgiveness. You may say to yourself, I can't believe I'm here. It may be denial the first thing that grabs you, and it probably will be. You may say to yourself, this is a horrible nightmare. I've got to awake from this. But you can't awake. You've got to do something about it, but there's nothing you can do. When you wake up in hell and you realize you're condemned and you're going to be there forever, that's got to be the shock of all shocks. It's got to be the most horrible thing that can happen to anybody, is to lift up their eyes in hell. The rich man feasted day in and day out. He had servants that waited on his every need. He lived in palaces and wore king's clothing. He ate the finest of the food. He was well respected in his community. He was the man they went to for counsel. His voice was the final vote on anything that happened in the community. He was a fine, upstanding citizen. But the Bible said he died. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes. I warn you today, don't fear him that can destroy the body. I warn you today. I warn you today. Fear him that hath power, that once you die, that can destroy your soul in hell. Fear him that hath power beyond the grave. Fear him that lives in eternity. Fear him that walks, my friend, between the pillars of fire. Fear him that walks up and down in the mountain of God. Fear him that is from everlasting to everlasting. Fear him that is the Almighty. His voice is final. His ruling cannot be. There's no pleading. When he says it, it's going to happen. And the Bible said he lifted up his eyes in hell. One day the angels will carry my soul from this body. I'll leave this earth, my friend, and I'll say goodbye as I'm gone. I will not look back. It will recede in the distance, and heaven will open in before me. The streets of gold will span out before my eyes, and gates of pearl swing open wide. Not because I'm good, but because that's my daddy's home. That's where my father lives, and I'll go home. I'll be absent from the body. I'll be present with the Lord. I know whom I have believed. I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. Waiting to meet me with those that have gone on before me. Many friends, many loved ones, and many of my family. What a reunion day that will be. What a grand reunion day it will be. It's got to be before the sun goes down tonight on this earth. Before this, my friend, we ever go to our houses, I might hear the call. It may come. I don't know when. If there's anything I've learned about life, I've learned that this life is uncertain. May it come. It may come. He may say to me, this is it. You just preached your last sermon. That's the last time you'll open the Bible. Well, I want you to understand something and hear me well. If I drop where I stand right now, you'll never bury me in the ground. You'll never carry me out of this building. I want you to understand, I'll be gone in a moment in the presence of the Lord. I'll be where I belong. I'll be at home. I'll be with my father. I'll be with my people. And there I'll be forever. I know that as surely as I know I stand right now in this pulpit, I know I'm born again. Hallelujah. Ask for that. Leave that in the hands of God. Choose the day I leave. That's his call. But there's one thing about it. Be ready. Be prepared. Are you ready? Are you prepared? There's very little that I'd leave behind anyway. Very little, very, very little, precious little that I'd leave behind. As far as stuff, I wouldn't give you a flip of my finger for all the stuff I've got. Piled up here, piled up there. Just a few precious loved ones, dear to my soul. That's all I care. My friend, I'm gone. I'm gone. I'm gone. Amen. Are you ready to meet him? Jesus, in thy name we pray. I've delivered my soul. We have a new home. Some in this house this morning, it's not their home. They don't know. They face another day, Lord, like this one. Then another day, and then another day. They may walk out of this house this morning having been spoken to by God. You might have convicted them and awakened them to their need. And they can't wait till they get out the back door, though, and let that wear off and go back to what they came from. And then a month, a year, 2 years, it'll just be a distant memory. The convicting power of God will be long gone. God, may this be the day. If you're speaking to them and talking to them about their soul, may this be the day. In Jesus' name we pray, and for Jesus' sake we ask it. May this be the day. And heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Nobody looking. Anybody raise your hand in his house this morning and say, "Preacher, won't you pray for me? Because I know I'm not saved and I'm not ready to meet the Lord." And nobody's looking. This is personal and private. And nobody's going to take hold of you and drag you to the altar. If the Holy Ghost can't get you down here, man sure can't. He might bring your body, but he can't bring your soul. Only the Holy Ghost can do that. Would you raise your hand and say, "Preacher, won't you pray for me? Because I'm not ready. I'm not ready." Anybody? Anybody? All right. All right. Anybody in this house this morning say, "Preacher, I know I'm saved. I know I am, but I'm not living the way I ought to be living. And don't you pray for me?" Well, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Hands going up everywhere. Father, we see the hands. You see them. Lord, that you see them, that's all that really matters, because you can help them. Lord, I'm just a preacher. I can't do anything to change the situation. Father, I brought the word you put upon my heart. Now, Lord, you do the work. It's your work. It's not my work. It's yours. Help them. Those who raise their hand this morning, they want to get closer to you. They may have an issue of sin. They may have a problem. God, let this be the morning that that's finished and settled and done with. And they can walk out of this house this morning singing the song of Zion again, walking in victory, shouting the victory, glorifying God. That's what I want to see, Lord. I don't want to see them walk out of here beat to death and defeated the way they came in. I want them to see them walk out of here glorifying God. In Jesus' name we pray now. For Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen. Stand up here and sing, brother.
Page 388 in the All-American.